Now let's consider how the results of Super Tuesday are being absorbed in the Bernie Sanders camp. The former chair of the Massachusetts Democratic Party, Philip Johnston, has long been a champion of the senator from Vermont. Philip Johnston joins us from our partner WGBH in Boston. Philip, welcome to The Takeaway.
Great to be with you.
So it appears that the Bernie Sanders message hasn't been absorbed very much outside of New England. How do you explain that?
Well, he did. That's not exactly right. He did very well in Colorado. Colorado and Minnesota, by the way. Colorado is probably the quintessential purple state, and he won that by 10 points. Minnesota, he did very well. Massachusetts, which really, you know, people say, well, it's close to Vermont, but we don't have, you know, we don't have all that much connection to Vermont. But it was very, very close, despite the fact that the entire political establishment in the state was arrayed or allied against him. So I think he did pretty well last night. And as you are no doubt aware, last month he raised $42 million, which I believe is a national record in any presidential campaign.
And he'll continue from this point on. And what's the scenario between here and the convention? Is it a knockdown dragout? Is it a principled fight over issues and then peace at the convention? What do you think is going to happen?
Peace. Well, there definitely is going to be peace at the convention. And I can assure you that this is going to be a united party. You know, this has not been a terribly divisive primary. There's no bitterness or anger that I can detect on either side. And I think those of us who are with Bernie have great regard for Hillary and vice versa. And when we come together in Philadelphia and we leave there with the nominee, we're going to be very united in taking on Donald Trump. But I think Bernie has been extremely, he's had a profound impact on the campaign and on the Democratic Party in terms of the issues that he's raised. In my particular case, I think the issues of economic inequity and the need for campaign finance reform are paramount. The campaign finance system that we have now, particularly with Citizens United, is totally corrupt and relies on the bankrolls of very wealthy people to fund these campaigns. And it, I think it fundamentally undermines democracy. So these are very important issues which he has put on the table. And I think they're very important not only for the Democratic Party, but for the entire nation.
Let's talk about a couple of things. You mentioned that he did well outside of New England, and you spoke about Colorado and Oklahoma. Oklahoma never votes.
And Minnesota.
Right. Let's talk about Oklahoma and Colorado, though. Oklahoma never votes Democratic, so it's hard to see how that is an advantage in the general
going
forward.
Well, South Carolina, yeah, but the southern states never vote Democratic either. The chances of winning South Carolina or Tennessee or Georgia are nil. And so purple states like Minnesota is now pretty much a purple state. Colorado, as I said earlier, is the classic purple state. He's doing very well in those states. And if you look at the national polling, he does better against Trump than Hillary does. So I think it's sort of a misplaced or a wrong perception that many people have that he's weaker in these national matchups than his opponent is.
Well, let me tell you about some things that some of our listeners have been saying, that mm-hmm. they voted for Bernie, but they see Trump did so well on the Republican side that they're going to vote for Hillary in the general election, that somehow the specter of Donald Trump is so terrifying to them as progressive Democrats that they'll vote for Hillary Clinton. Now, you say the national polling favors Bernie, and I've seen those numbers, but this has really stirred things up in a way that it's very, very unexpected to see where we go from here.
Yeah, I think that Bernie has a message that's very powerful that cuts across ideological lines and class lines, and I think that were he to be the nominee, I think he'd be able to send that message in a powerful way around the country, and that it would resonate very strongly not only with Democrats, but you might notice that in most of these states he does very well among independents, and of course that's sort of a legacy that he had in Vermont. Look at those numbers in Vermont. You know, so you look at these Republicans who are having trouble, some problems in their own states, like Marco Rubio. Bernie Sanders got 86% of the vote in a state that traditionally has been, had been a Republican state. And many, many independents voted for him yesterday. And in the years that he's been in the Senate and before that in the House, he enjoyed very bipartisan support from not only Democrats, but independents and Republicans as well.
Do the superdelegates make Bernie Sanders' point that politics is run by people in the back rooms?
I never liked, even when I was party chair, I never liked the idea of having superdelegates. I think it ought to be one person, one vote. But, you know, this happened in 08 when Hillary was running against Obama, and most of the superdelegates were initially with Hillary. And when the voters made clear that they were supporting Barack Obama, those superdelegates switched to Obama. So I'm not concerned. I think that the people make a mistake when they add in the superdelegates in toting up the delegate count.
Well, we'll see what the strategy is from here on out, but a lot of exciting milestones coming up. Philip Johnston joined us from our partner station WGBH in Boston. He's a former chair of the Massachusetts Democratic Party. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.